Let's take our Bibles and go to the book of Exodus, please. And we'll find Exodus chapter number 23. Exodus chapter number 23 and verse number 20. Exodus chapter number 23 and verse number 20. And this was yesterday's Bible reading. And today we looked in Exodus 25 and 26, I believe it was, in our Bible reading. And the Lord is giving Moses the direction for the tabernacle in Exodus 25 and 26. But we come to Exodus 23, and here we find Moses is receiving the law of the Lord, and God is giving him in Exodus 20 the Ten Commandments, and then the laws that govern man in their relationship one with another. And then in verse number 20, the Lord is speaking to his people about what he intends to do as he has given them his law. And so I want you to look with me there, if you would, please. The Bible said, "Behold, I send an angel before thee." Notice the word angel is capitalized. "To keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my fear before thee and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite and the Canaanite and the Hittite from before thee. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the Sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee." I want you to look at the phrase we find in verse number 30. By little and little. By little and little. If you have been around ministry and church, and you've been in children's Sunday school, you've probably heard the song, "Little by Little, Every Day, Little by Little in Every Way, My Jesus is Changing Me." How many of you have heard that song? You never heard that song? Well, I'll have Brother Hickman sing it for you in just a minute. And just a minute, and that'll encourage your heart. You got to drive the bus tonight, don't you, Brother Hickman? And so he does now. And little by little, little by little. We are impatient people, aren't we? There's a song that was popularized some years ago. It's certainly not one that we would promote, but it does speak well of, but it describes very aptly, that's a better way to say it, the spirit of the age. And the song lyric was, "I want it all and I want it now." That describes most all of us, doesn't it? The eyes of man are never satisfied. And our problem with covetousness is really the fact that we're not content with what God has given us. And so we're that type of people, and we get very impatient. And the Lord is speaking to Moses before they go into the land. And we understand that this generation that Moses ministers to primarily, they're going to die in the wilderness. It'll be their children, 20 years of age and under, that will go into the land. And once they go into the land, they're not going to find the land unoccupied. I pointed out a few weeks ago to you that when Abraham went into the land, the Lord said, go to the land that I will tell thee of. I'm going to give it to you. And when he and Sarah showed up in the land, I imagine they may have been surprised and were that there were other people living there. I heard about a lady who went on vacation or was on an extended trip, and she came back and found people living in her house. They were literally living in their house. Some crook had somehow concocted a scheme, and he knew this lady was going to be gone, and he rented out her house to some unknowing people, and she came home from her trip to find people living in her house. And the Lord said to Abraham, I'm going to give you this land. But when he showed up, the Canaanites were there. I imagine maybe when they showed up, they sit on the hilltop and said, wow, look at that. That's a beautiful home. You like this, Sarah? Oh, I like that. Let's make that our house. Okay. I mean, the Lord said he's going to give it to us. But then they show up, and guess what? The Canaanites answer the door. We thought this was our place. God's given us the title deed to it. No, you're going to have to wander around in tents for a little bit. Things didn't quite go as were expected. And now the people of Israel are going to come out of the land out of the land of Egypt, and they're coming in the millions. And they're already complaining. They had barely gotten out of Egypt and barely got across the water, seeing how God dealt with the Egyptians, seeing the mighty power of God. And as soon as they come across the first little sign of trouble, and it wasn't such a little sign, but the first sign of trouble, they say, why did you bring us here? We'd been better off in Egypt. At least we wouldn't be dying out here. And then when there was no bread, what did they do? They murmured, did you bring us out here to kill us, Moses? And when there was no water, what did they do? They didn't say, well, you know, maybe we ought to pray because God supplied the manna and he'll supply the water. They didn't say that. They said, Moses, what are you doing? You see, we have a very short memory, don't we? A very short memory. I think about Jesus and the disciples saying, after the 5,000 had been fed, how are we going to feed this next crowd? He said, have you already forgotten that miracle? You witnessed it, but you forgot it. You forgot it. And now here they are, they're coming into the land, and the Lord is preparing them, and he's saying to them in verse number 30, by little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. Look at verse 29. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beast of the field multiply against thee. But some time ago, I had a very wise friend and a person that I admire and respect say to me, do not underestimate what you can do in 10 years, but do not overestimate what you can do in one. And we think often of our lives in very small time frames. And we begin to think that if God does not move, or that we do not perceive that he has moved within our context of time, within our context of our of what we expect God's going to do in time, then we have a tendency to think that God is not doing anything. And what we're going to find here is that God is going to do exactly what God said he would do. But it's going to be by little and little. By little and little. Now I want you to notice here that God makes a promise to his people in verse 20. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I prepared. There are so many wonderful things here. This angel, what does this angel signify? It signifies the very presence of God. You're not in this thing alone, Moses. You're not in this thing alone, these 6 million people. What do they have leading them? They have the pillar, which is a cloud by day and a fire by night. And the Lord said, this angel is going before thee, and he's going to be present with you, and he's going to keep thee in the way. That means he's going to preserve you, he's going to protect you in the way. And to bring thee into the place, he's going to perform the promise which I have prepared. God has prepared something for his people. God has always had a people. God has always had a place for his people.
Amen.
And I want to tell you, if you're a part of God's people, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you are his people. And God has something prepared for you. Jesus said to his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, lo, I go and prepare what? A place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And so we understand that the Lord was preparing the land for his people. And God is preparing a place for us. But while we're here on this earth, God has a plan for our lives. And that plan is centered upon our relationship with the Lord Jesus. And the land of Canaan, if we look at it and we understand the spiritual principles that speak to us, we're not going to a physical land, but we have an inheritance. And that inheritance is the Lord Jesus. And the physical blessings, the temporal blessings, the land that flowed with milk and honey, those blessings for us are spiritual blessings. The Bible says that he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And so the life of the Hebrew, the Jew, the Israelite in the promised land is the life that we live. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It is the Christ life. It is communion and fellowship with him that lifts us above the temporal, above the circumstantial. And we're in the realm of the heavenlies, where the Lord Jesus, the Bible says, has made us to sit together with him. Now that's not in the Bible so we can just say, oh, that sounds nice, doesn't it? No, that is for our practical experience. But sometimes our expectations are oh so low. Oh so low. And so we can live in the victory. We have the presence of God, the promise of God. We have the protection of the Lord, and he is preparing a land for us. Verse 21, beware of him, obey his voice, provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions. In other words, follow him, stay in line. Verse 22, but if thou shalt not indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. The Lord said, obey me and I'm going to take care of it. Obey me. That's what he's asking for. If we love him, what will we do? We will keep his commandments, right? And then he said, for mine angels shall go before thee, verse 23, and bring thee unto the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Now who's doing the work here? It's God. He says, thou shalt not bow down to their gods. In other words, when you get over there, don't start worshiping their gods. Well, we understand now that we've read through the rest of the story, right? We understand that many of them will. Nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. In other words, destroy every remnant of their idolatry. Verse 25, and you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. Boy, God's going to bless them if they're obedient. He's going to take care of them. Notice verse 25, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? There shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in thy land. In other words, there won't be any stillborn animals or people. The number of thy days I will fulfill. You're going to have a long life. I will send my fear before thee and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. Doesn't that sound like a really nice place to be? And I want to tell you that in Christ is a really nice place to be. And in communion and in fellowship with Him is a really, really nice place to be. It's a place of blessing. It's a place of His provision and His power and His presence. It's a wonderful place. But notice what He says when you get there, in verse 29, I'm not going to drive them out in 1 year, but we're going to do it little by little. So let me give you a couple things here. As we think about this, first of all, patience is required. Patience is required. The Bible tells us that we're to let patience have her perfect work in our lives. Patience is hard. Nobody signed up for the patience team or the patience ministry. Or the patient's experience. It's difficult. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And waiting and being patient, we find is difficult because we want God to move and God to deliver us from our enemies and from the circumstances and the heartaches. We want God to do that for us now. But God said, I've already done it. I'm going to do it. It's a done deal. But when you get there, I won't drive them all out in the first year. I'm going to leave them behind. But notice what He's going to leave them behind for. Look in verse 29. The remainder of the verse, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. Why did God leave the adversary in the land? For the sake of His people. He leaves the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, all of those people there, and He does that for the sake of His people. Now the Canaanites and all that crowd, they're vexing the people of God. They're the enemies. They're the adversaries of God. But God says, I'm going to leave them there. And I'm going to leave them there for your sake. Because if I remove them all, you're not prepared and you're not ready to fully occupy the land. And what will happen is the beasts of the field will multiply and they'll do more harm to you. That's a little difficult maybe for us to relate to. But this is what we understand they had to deal with. And so here's the principle for us. The very things that we want God to remove may be there and are there for our good, lest a worse thing come in and overtake us. And in that patience that we have to exercise, we have to realize by faith that God knows what is best for us. So our circumstances, as vexing as they may be the tool and are perhaps are the tools that God is using to strengthen us and at the same time protect us from a worse enemy.
Right. Amen.
So patience is required. Let me give you another one. Persistence is required. Verse 30, by little and little I will drive them out from before thee. By little and little. We just take one step. One day at a time. The armies of Israel gathered outside the walls of Jericho. Said, what are we going to do, Joshua? We're going to march around. What? We're going to march. Well, I got my sword. No, we're just going to march. Well, are we going to, we're going to tell them, hey, you got another thing coming, big boy. You better be ready up there. Here we come. No, you're not going to say a word. What? Not going to say a word? Not going to fight? Not going to charge? No, we're going to march. Day one, we march. Day two, we march. Day three, we march. Day four, we march. I imagine about day two, people are going, what are we doing? Day three, this makes no sense. Day four, this is crazy. Day five, day six, it's almost laughable. Day seven, what? Seven times? My feet are hurting. We're going to be persistent. We're just going to do what we know to do. We're going to get up in the morning. We're going to read our Bible. We're going to pray. We're going to make breakfast, feed our kids. We're going to take them to school. We're going to deal with all their little issues and all the issues that they cause. We're going to wash the clothes and change the sheets and go to the grocery store. Get our car inspected. We're going to deal with the interruptions, and we're going to deal with the delays, and we're going to deal with the disappointments. We're going to deal with it. We're going, though, to deal with it in the power of God, in the presence of God. There's an angel that's going before us. He's never left us nor forsaking us, and he's keeping us in the way. But we're going to go.
Amen.
Day after day after day. We got to be persistent. Patience is required. Persistence is required. Progression is required. Until thou, verse 30, be increased and inherit the land. You know how increase happens? It happens slowly and it happens daily. But it happens. Until thou be increased. You know, had they got all the land at one time, the land would have been overgrown. They couldn't have taken care of it. Wild animals. I mean, it would have been a nightmare. And I don't know if you've noticed so far, but the people who were in the wilderness did not seem to demonstrate a great deal of fortitude and commitment. And so God knows that. That's why he didn't take them through cutting through the land of the Philistines, because he said, if there's a war, they're not ready for that. And they weren't ready to fully occupy the land. And they had a mixed multitude. By the way, there'll always be an element of a mixed multitude. And we understand that. The Lord Jesus gives us the parable of the tares, the sower, the tares and the wheat. And so God is doing a work. He's doing a work. When it doesn't seem like God is doing a work, God is doing a work.
Amen. Yes, he is.
And as we are persistent and as we're patient and as we're moving forward, day by day, month by month, year by year, there is growth. It's not all significantly seen at one time, but over long spans of time, we can look back and we can see growth. Progression is required. We need to keep feeding our inner man. We don't need to get bored with the Bible. People are bored with the Christian life. They're bored with church. They're bored to death. This is the thing that promotes our spiritual health and our growth. Progression is required. Here's the last one. Possession is required. So we're patient. We understand it's not going to happen in the first year. In fact, it's not going to happen for many years. Persistence is required by little and little. Just little daily victories. Sometimes it feels like daily setbacks. In fact, sometimes it feels like month-long setbacks or six-month-long setbacks, but God is doing something in the setback. Progression is required. Moving forward, increasing, growing, and then inheritance until thou be increased and inherit the land. And the word inherit means to take possession of. To take possession. These blessings that are ours in Christ Jesus, this fact that he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, we are to take possession of those blessings. Abraham, walk up and down in the land, and everywhere you put your foot, I'm going to give that land to you. Well, if God said that to you, you'd be walking all over Hickory. Man, that's mine. And so let's get in our inheritance, let's get in our land, and let's walk up and down in it, and let's possess it. But now there are obstacles, aren't there? Well, let's look at it all. First of all, the Lord said, and I will set the bounds from the Red Sea, even unto the Sea of the Philistines. Now, what do I see here? I see God sets the boundaries. I don't set the boundary. God sets the boundary. I don't go, you know, till I'm just content and happy. I want to go with God. I want to go with God until he says no. And there's a lot of lessons there. I don't need to go outside the boundary, do I? I need to let God set the boundary. I don't need to complain about the boundary. Everything I need is within the boundary. Everything I need is within the boundary. Everything that can harm me and hurt me is without the boundary. God sets the boundaries. Here's the other one. God delivers the enemy into our hands. Now notice this. He says in verse 30, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand. God said, I will deliver the enemy into your hand. Wonderful. Wonderful. But then he says something that may on the surface seem contradictory to us. He said, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. God says, I'm giving you the enemy, but here's what you got to do. You got to go drive them out. You got to go to Jericho. You got to go to all of these towns and these cities. Ai. You have to go to these places and you have to drive them out. But wait a minute. God said a minute ago, he's going to send the hornet and drive them out. Imagine that. The Lord is going to send a swarm of hornets and they're going to drive people out of that land. You see, what God's going to do is he's going to teach them that he can win the victory in lots of ways. Lots of ways that make no sense to the world. Lots of ways that teach us that we didn't do it, he did. But we do have to show up for the battle. And we might have to pull our sword out. And we might have to draw some blood. But God is going to give the victory. And so while the swords are clanging and the arrows are firing, and it seems like, you know, all hell is against us, God has called us to go and possess the land. But he said, you need to understand, I have won the victory. I have given the enemy over. And as we go in faith, God supplies the victory.
Amen.
Hey, it's not too difficult to get on the court when you know you already got them beat. It's not too difficult to do. And we've got them beat. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, right? Are you with me tonight?
Yes.
Possession is required. And that possession may that's difficult for us. That's where the faith is involved. That's where the conflict is involved. That's where the battle is involved. He said, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Thou shalt not, or thou shalt make rather, no covenant with them. Boy, that's the temptation. Look, I don't really want to fight. I mean, those people are scary. Let's make a little covenant. Let's just all learn to get along. Let's let that go. There's no reason to deal with that situation. There's no reason to get into that battle. Let's make a covenant with them. And that's what we're tempted to do in our daily lives. That's what we're tempted to do with our kids, because we don't want the conflict. We don't want to be the bad guy. I don't like being the bad guy. I tell Mr. Hickman and Mrs. Reed, it's their responsibility to be the bad guy. I'm the pastor. I don't want to be the bad guy. Because I value myself. And I don't want anybody mad at me. Poor little me. And poor little you. And oftentimes we're not willing to enter into the conflict, and we want to make peace with the very thing that will ultimately vex us and could potentially destroy us. They're not so bad. That's not so bad. I don't see anything wrong with that. That's not the right place to start, is it? Lots of applications there. Let the Spirit of God direct us. God delivers the enemy, but we have to drive them out. And we cannot make a covenant with them, nor with their gods. Verse 33, they shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. That's a danger. That's a snare. You know, that's something that grabs a hold of you and it hurts and it won't let you go. And so here we find, little by little, little by little, what is God doing in your life? Are you tired of the little by little? Understand that God is working on your behalf. He is present. He is preserving you and protecting you, keeping you in the way. He is powerful and mighty. He has given the enemy into your hand. He is providing all that you need. He's got it all done. He's prepared it all for you. But it comes to us little by little. Yes. So how are we doing with the patience? So many people quit. They get tired of waiting. How is it with the persistence? How is it with the progression? And how is it with the possession? Little by little. Think about our church and what the Lord wants to do. Whatever it is He wants to do, He'll do it little by little. As we wait upon Him, as we continue to work and we're persistent, as we grow, as we progress, not just numerically, that's not what I'm speaking of. I'm speaking of inwardly, maturity-wise. And then mature people, mature healthy people will produce. It just comes naturally. If we're not producing converts, and by the way, salvation is of the Lord, but if we're not getting the gospel out and the Spirit of God using us and people aren't being saved and people added to our church, it's because there's a problem with the body. It's not functioning. It's not healthy. It's not mature. But when that's in place, there will be growth numerically. But the growth has to take place inwardly. So whatever it is that God wants to do, we understand we have to grow. We have to progress. We can't stand still. And then we have to take possession. And that requires conflict and obedience and battle and faith.